Turn to Psalm 100, Psalm 100. And then if you'll put your finger there and turn to Matthew chapter number 13, Matthew chapter number 13, Psalm 100. Place your finger there. And then Matthew 13, and we'll be looking at Psalm 100 first. I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for a lot of years, but really never had the courage to do it. But as I began to pray about what God would have me to do, I prepared a message on Can God? And but I thought with the ministry meeting, that message would go a little bit too long, would be here pretty late, so what I've been wanting to do for a lot of years, and really, as I said, didn't have the courage to do it, and really the leading of the Lord, but I want to preach to you tonight the very first message that I ever preached. This goes back about to 1988, the very first message that I ever preached. I had it on cassette. I listened to it probably once, and someone broke into our home and stole our little secret box, and so I hope they got saved, amen, because you hear the title of the message, maybe you'll understand the reason why I said I hope they got saved. So I'm going to preach this message, and I'm just going to share it with you. It's back old school, Pastor James, old school, stenographer paper, amen, and a highlighter. No computers, no internet, no nothing but a King James Bible, and by the way, it was a Schofield large print edition. I mean, I'm talking large print. When I say the Reader's Digest size, that's about how big literally it was. You can still buy them today if you're brave enough to carry it around. They had that, and you had your Strong's Concordance, and that's all you had. And you had the love of God in your heart and a fire to preach the Word of God. And so as I began looking, thinking about this and praying about this, the Lord reminded me of this message. And so I did not doctor this message up in any way, shape, or form. What was put down over 35 some years ago is still, 33 is still there today, amen. And so when I looked at it, began looking at it, and I had to hunt to try to find the original notes for it, and I found them. And I thought, man, boy, that's some very early work, amen. But then I thought, you know what? I bet Spurgeon's first message was maybe something like this, and he grew spiritually mature and got the Word of God ingrained in his heart and life, and things turned out a little bit different. So we're going to go back to old school today, amen, just for a few minutes. And really, it's just a reminder to me of just what God has done in my life, amen. How much he has matured me spiritually, how much his Word has been applied to my life, and how have I grown scripturally as well. And listen, you might be here. This might be where you are. But listen, you don't have to stay that way, amen. You pray, read, study God's Word, amen, and you can surely move on. So let's stand and give respect to the reading of God's Word. And I'm just going to be truthful today. Remember, I wrote this message 33 years ago, and I looked over this message, and I don't know why Psalm 100 was here. I have an inkling why, but it doesn't match anything else, but it's on my notes, so we're going to read it, amen, and just trust the Lord for it, amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And unto his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and the truth endureth to all generations. Now turn over in your Bibles quickly to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. We're going to begin reading in verse number 24 through verse number 30. Then we're going to skip down to the Lord's explanation of verse 36 through 43 as we read here in our Bible, Matthew 13, beginning in verse number 24 with the parable of the wheat and the tares. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeareth tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now look very quickly down to verse number 36 through verse number 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into his house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall come forth, send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Father, looking back 30-some years at the very first message that I stood and preached in a church service. So, Father, I pray you'll take this little meager message, Father, and you'll apply these truths to our heart and lives today. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to stand and the calling that I have to preach the Word of God. I'm thankful for these people that gather here this evening, Father, to hear the preaching and teaching of your Word. Father, I pray they'll not go home, Father, not receiving something this evening. So, Lord, would the Holy Spirit do a work in hearts and lives, and we'll seek to give you glory and honor for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you notice in verse number 42, it says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what? That sounds like a pretty bad place to be, doesn't it? I don't know about you. A furnace of fire and gnashing of teeth, quite literally, that gnashing doesn't mean biting. It means the grinding of teeth, that you're in so much pain and so much torment that you're just grinding your teeth. It's a place that I don't want to go to. But guess what? I'm glad this evening that I don't have to go there. And if you're here this evening, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you don't have to go there as well. Thank the Lord for that. And the title of the message this evening is simply this: Why I'm Glad I'm Not Going to Hell. Why I'm Glad I'm Not Going to Hell. A couple of reasons why I'm glad I'm not going to hell. First of all, number one, I would feel out of place. Take your Bibles and turn over to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. I wouldn't want to go to hell because I would feel out of place. You know, when we go to different places in this world, sometimes we feel like we belong. Sometimes we don't feel that we don't belong. I can remember one time I told you before I was invited to a charity auction, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was a well-to-do charity auction. I'm talking about you just don't bid $5, $10. You bid $5,000, $10,000, or thousands of dollars, something along on that line. And so when I went there, I wasn't particularly dressed in a way that everybody else was dressed. So immediately I felt out of place, but as I told you before, I went over to where the oysters were in the grill, and I immediately felt like I belonged there, amen. I just hung around the grill and talked just like they did and ate just like they did, amen. Praise the Lord. But sometimes you go to places you don't you feel out of place or don't feel in place. Let's read here and let's see who's going to be in hell, because we're going to feel out of place. Revelation 21, and of course we're reading verse number 8. Notice who's going to be in hell. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I do have a true biblical understanding of what we're speaking about. Now, literally not speaking about hell. We're speaking about the eternal damnation that follows after the judgment. I do understand that. But for the sake of 33 years ago, just being a young preacher boy, understand that why I'm glad I'm not going to hell or eternal damnation. Amen. So I'd feel out of place there. Why? Because look who's going to be there. Look, number one, the fearful are going to be there. You know, the fearful are always afraid. And I think, I just believe this. If you have anxiety problems here on earth, when you get to heaven, when you get to hell, your anxiety and your fear is going to be tripled and doubled more than it already is. You say, can you prove that from the Bible? No, I can't prove that from the Bible. You can't prove it from that it's not going to be that way as well. I think a lot of times our characteristics that we exhibit here on earth, that you're going to exhibit down in hell as well. So we're going to have to really just trust the Lord and not become fearless. And Numbers 13 and verse number 30, we think of the story the Bible have of the spies that were sent out. We find 10 were sent out, and 10 said, no, don't go in. 2 said, oh, yes, there's a land filled of large grapes and honey, and we ought to go in and conquer that land. Listen, they didn't have any fear. And I think you and I, as born-again believers, should never lose the fear of God. And I'm thinking of the reverential respect, the holy all of who God is. But listen, when you're in hell, there's going to be fear, literal fear in hell. There'll be a fearful will be down there as well. You know, being fearful, it kind of catches on, doesn't it? You ever walk into a house and turn your light on for some reason and light doesn't come on? And you look at your wife and you go, what's wrong? I don't know. What's wrong? I don't know. You know, fear breeds fear. If you walk in, men, and you're like, I got this thing. No problem. You find your way in, turn the lights on. But listen, if you're fearful, other people will be fearful as well. And so just think about this. The fearful are going to be there. Then the Bible said the unbelieving. Of course, we all understand who that is, those who don't trust Christ, who never got saved. But then notice it says this, the abominable. And that's the hateful, the deceitful people. We might say the maniacs, the sex perverts, the murderers, the lowlifes. And I'm just reading my notes from when I preached it 33 years ago, so just bear with me. So the abominable people are going to be there. And who wants to be there? I'd be uncomfortable there with the abominable people, with the fearful people, with the unbelieving people. But then notice what it says, the whoremongers. And ladies, you might be here today, and you might be morally upright, and you might be morally pure, and you might be pure until the day you got married. But understand this. That guess who you're going to be down there with? Whoremongers. Then it goes on to say this, a sorcerer. A sorcerer is someone who practices witchcraft. But you know what? You don't have to be a witch to practice sorcery. You know, I think if you, fall in this trap of using Ouija boards, reading horoscopes, going to palm readers, I think those things really line right up with that. And so understand this, that's where you're going to be. I'm not comfortable being here with them, let alone down in a place called hell. The Bible said there'll be idolaters there, people who perhaps worship false gods, people who maybe worship celebrities, worship movie stars. You know why I understand this? That in the first commandment, God tells me in Exodus 20 and verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I don't know, it's not like I believe that anybody here in this church bows down and worships monkeys. I don't believe that. I hope you don't. If you do, come see me and we'll talk about it, amen. And I'll show you the Christ who really does love you. You can bow down and worship him. But what I'm simply saying is this, is that you don't have to worship golden calves and worship Ashtaroth, the false god of the Canaanites. You don't have to worship him, but you can put anything in front of God. And if you do that, you'll be down there with all the other idolaters. But then notice this. And I thought about this and kept thinking about this. Why did God put this one little word, a group of people are going to be there, liars? I mean, he covers whoremongers, you know, we say, oh, yeah, I understand that. Oh, sorcerers, oh, yeah, that's true, I can understand that. And we can look at the fearful, the unbelieving, oh, sure, I understand that. The abominable, oh, yeah. But then he puts one little word here, and he said, these people are the ones that are going to be in hell, and they are the liars. And I thought about that. Well, why is that? Why is that? Well, I think for two reasons. Number one, the devil is the father of all lies. That's what the Word of God tells us. It's a very despicable sin. But I think this as well, I think it's put in there to help you and I to understand this, that people would read this list and they go, oh, good, check, I'm not a whoremonger. Check, I'm not a sorcerer. Oh, no, I don't worship monkeys. Oh, a liar. Well, I don't know. There we go. And I think sometimes the Lord just has these lists of things for us to help us understand. And even the smallest thing helps us to understand that we are sinners and we need to be saved by the grace of God. But then, you know what? I think there's someone else that's not listed here, and that's good people. Perhaps people just like you and I before we received Jesus Christ. I didn't think I was a very bad type of person. I might not have lived the best moral life, but I try not to steal, cheat, and rip people off. I tried to be a good person. I tried to obey the Ten Commandments as best as I wanted to at the time of the situation I was in. You understand simply this is that good people are going to be in hell. Your neighbors, your loved ones, granny and grandpa, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, even your children that are not saved are going to be there. See, the devil has blinded their eyes, and they need to understand this, that just being good here on this earth doesn't take them to heaven. Amen. Well, we see, first of all, the people who are going to be there. I wouldn't like to be there. Then number two, why I'm glad I'm not going to hell. There's no fellowship or friendship there. There's no welcome committees. There's no parties. And that was the biggest thing in the military when we witnessed the people. They say, oh, no, Sergeant Carroll, I don't care if I die and go to hell. I know all my friends are. And I thought to myself, well, you're probably right, but they don't have to go there. And they say, yeah, we'll be down there drinking our Budweiser and having a wonderful time down in hell. Listen, there's no parties. There's nothing going on like that. Everybody's worried about their own pain. They couldn't. Think about this. What if you were in hell, burning up alive, and being in pain and in torment where the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth go on for all eternity, and listen, and you can't share your burden with somebody else. You know, sometimes being able to share our burdens that we have here on this earth just does something to help lift that out. Listen, there's no burden sharing down in hell. You're alone, you're miserable, it's dark, and there's, like I said, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no fellowship there. There's no friendship there. What a terrible place that is going to be. And notice number three, why I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Because the inhabitants of that place have no rest day or night. We'll not take time to turn there, but Revelation 4:14 and verse number 11 tells us that there is no rest in hell. I don't know about you, but I need my rest, amen. I like to take a nap every once in a while. I like to get 7, 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep a night, whatever it happens to be on my schedule. And here's the truth of the matter is, there is no rest in hell. It's not like that you could be in torment for a while and take a little reprieve, and torment for a while and take a little rest. It doesn't happen that way. It's day and night forever and ever and ever. You know what? I'm thankful today that you and I can ask God for rest. Amen. People can ask God for rest. And Hebrews 4:9, the Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And I understand the context again, what rest is literally speaking about. But I believe there is an application there, particularly when we look at Matthew 11 and verse number 28, where the Bible says, Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad I'm not going to hell because I like to take a nap every once and again. Number four, I'm glad I'm not going to hell because hell is a place of separation from God. Listen, if the fire wasn't enough, if the darkness wasn't enough, if the demons and separation from God is not enough, I don't know where you are today. You see, because man was created to have fellowship with God. And apart from God and apart from that fellowship, man is miserable. We know the heathens live a restless life. Isaiah 57 and verses 20 and 21 teaches us this. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Hell is a place of eternal separation from God. They're restless. There is no rest. And the people who know real peace, people who can say, I have real peace, are people who are saved and completely surrendered and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the people who can say, yes, I have peace with God and I have rest with God. Well, number five, notice this, that hell is a place of eternal punishment. Eternal means never ending. It means never ceasing. It means simply this, forever and ever. Revelation 4:11 says, and their smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever. Again, that just means it never stops whatsoever. That word torment literally means they're in pain, literally burning in hell, gnashing of their teeth, grinding of their teeth together because of the pain that they are in. You see what a terrible place that is. I think the pain is so bad that you no longer can remember the good things of life. Think about the rich man in chapter number 16. He was fared with purple and fine linen. The Bible said he ate sumptuously every day. And he could not remember all that his money bought him. But one thing he did remember was simply this: all I need was water. And then he said, you know, could you send Abraham to put a drop of water on their tongue? You know what? But it was too late. It's too late. I'm so glad that I'm not going to hell. And I think lastly, a few more reasons why I'm glad I'm not going to hell is because of the beauty of the creation of our Heavenly Father. Boy, I just love to get out and look. My sister kind of has this thing of taking pictures of sunsets and sunrises. She gets to work early, comes home about that time, and she always has these beautiful sunsets. I think the beauty of that. I think of the beauty of the mountains where I lived at in McConnellsburg. I didn't like the place, but it was a beautiful place. The mountains in West Virginia where we were at for a number of years was beautiful. I liked the beauty of the ocean and the seaside and the Outer Banks and at Myrtle Beach where I was at. Just that the quietness of the beach, not the busyness of all the traps of tourism, but it's the beauty that God has. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell because of the children. Oh, I can't imagine being separated from little Benjamin. Boy, what a wonderful little guy that he is. The children that are not going to be there. I think about the music that we're going to miss. The music, special musics are so great here. And the musics that we listen to and the choir singing, the CD, the church CD. If you haven't listened to that church CD in a while, go ahead and get that out. It will just brighten your day. And I think about this. There's no lakes, rivers, streams, or oceans, amen. Hey, there's no bottled water, and there's no Dasani for you there, amen. You know, where would we be without the wonderful, refreshing water that God has given us? Well, the Bible tells us that the wages of our sin is death in Romans 6:23. I like what Jesus said in John 14, in verse 2. I will go to prepare a place for you. You see, the place he prepared for us is not hell, it's for heaven. He prepared that for his children. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out, he said in John 6, in verse number 37. And lastly, in 1 John 2:12, the Bible says, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So I don't know what your reasons would be if you were to ask you the list of reasons why you're glad you're not going to hell. I've given you seven of mine, amen, from the very first message I ever preached some 33 years ago. And you know what, as I looked over this, I could add a few. I might take away a few more. I might add to this message and take away, but I just preached it the way God gave it to me 33 years ago. It's the very first time, and I pray and might have just put a spark in your heart to think about some reasons why you're glad that you're not going to hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.